We've been looking at our relationship with Holy Spirit, divine person, holy God. And we've been looking at Genesis chapter 24, Abraham's servant, as an Old Testament type or natural example to help us understand Holy Spirit's role, his assignment, his relationship to the believer, and our relationship with him. You recall the story how Abraham sent his servant to obtain a bride, a wife for his son. He identifies a young maid who responds to his question for water as he asked God. She willingly agrees to go with the servant, to accompany him. She leaves her family, her homeland, leaves her work, and follows the servant. She commences a journey to Abraham's house where the son awaits for her. And we know it's more than a one day's journey because of the number of camels taken, and also because verse 4 tells us in Genesis chapter 24 how Abraham instructed the servant to go to Abraham's country and to his relatives, and not to take a wife from the country where he was currently dwelling, where he had settled in Canaan. So here's Rebecca riding camels with the servant, journeying to Abraham's home where the son awaits. During this period of time, I'm certain that she had questions about the son, the man waiting for her. She had questions about the country, how she would live there, how the customs varied. Questions about Abraham, the son's father. And here, the servant, the senior servant in Abraham's household, the eldest servant in his household that ruled over everything, knew every intimate detail of that household, how the order of service would go in the morning, how the family dwelt together in the evening, who was responsible for what task. Certainly, he disclosed these things to her, disclosed more about the son and his wealth and his treasury, about her role as his wife. If Rebecca raised questions that indicated an uneasiness about her new venture, her new life, as they approached the dwelling, certainly the servant's assurances dissipated or nullified her concern. And during this journey, they developed a close relationship. When they arrived, Genesis chapter 24, verse 63 tells us that Isaac was out in the field. He was out there meditating and in prayer, and he saw the camels coming. And Rebecca looked up, and she saw Isaac. For she had said to the servant, "Who is the man walking across the field to meet us?" She waited and trusted the servant's identification of the son. She trusted the servant's truthfulness about the man who was approaching them. And also notice, in verse 66, it tells us that the servant told Isaac everything that he had done. Isaac likewise took no action without conferring with the servant. You know, it amazes me that we as Christian singles don't look to the Holy Spirit as Isaac looked to Holy Spirit to locate the wife for him and to identify her and to bring her into his life. And notice how Rebecca trusted Holy Spirit, or in this instance, the servant, to reveal to her the man who was the Son, the man that she was to marry. If we singles would look to Holy Spirit as Rebecca and Isaac looked to the servant regarding their relationship, perhaps the same would be true as we see in verse 67 about Isaac and Rebecca's relationship. It says, "And Isaac brought her into his mother's, Sarah's, tent, and he took Rebecca, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted." In other words, it was a relationship that blessed both of them. Let's look at another Old Testament type or example to understand our relationship with Holy Spirit. I believe the book of Esther gives us an example of how a servant, Holy Spirit, prepares one for their individual assignment. You recall in Esther how the king's wife had embarrassed him by not coming into the banquet hall when he requested that she come before him, and she was removed from her position as queen. And so the king needed a wife, and so they suggested, his advisors suggested, that beautiful young women be brought from around the countryside, and that he simply select a bride from among those women, select the one who pleased him. And chapter 2 of the book of Esther tells us that Mordecai, who was a Benjamite, decided to bring Esther, a relative, not his own daughter, to be a participant in the selection process. She had neither father nor mother, but she was his uncle's daughter. But he took her as his own daughter. And so there she's given into the custody of one of the king's servants, Hega. He takes custody of the young women, including Esther. And it says that she found favor in his eyes, and that he speedily gave her things for her purification, and he gave her her portion of food, and selected 7 chosen maids to administer to her, to serve her. It says that he removed her and her maids to the best apartment in the harem. And it says that there she spent 12 months, 6 months for her purification, and 6 months with spices and perfumes being prepared to be presented to the king. And what's important, I think, in this is that Esther followed his instructions. Here was a man who knew everything about the king, knew what colors he liked, knew what fabrics would please him. And it says that she did whatever he instructed her. And naturally, when she went into the king, she was selected to be the queen. Notice in verse 15, it says that when it was her turn to go into the king, she required nothing but what the king's attendant suggested, and that she found favor in the sight of all who saw her. Just as the king's servant prepared Esther, groomed her, instructed her, just as the servant instructed Rebecca, prepared her for her task, so too, Holy Spirit, in our relationship with him, prepares us for our assignment in the earth and also when we will go to heaven to be with the Son. Our relationship with Him is so vitally important. If we have questions about the Son, if we have questions about the Father, about our role in the earth, and even questions about Holy Spirit, who He is, and what His relationship to us is, or His relationship with the Son and the Father, all we need do is ask, and Holy Spirit will reveal to us our purpose, our function, our assignment, and He will prepare us and groom us. Well, it's been a pleasure visiting with you by the brook today. Thank you for joining me, and I pray the blessings of God upon you and your household, and I pray that you would grow in wisdom and in grace, that you would come to know Holy Spirit, third person in the Godhead, that you would walk in an intimate relationship with Him. Bye-bye. Welcome to By the Brook. We're spending time over God's Word discovering those behaviors that hinder our communion, our partnership with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, one called alongside, the one who knows all that God has planned for each of our lives, one who reveals to us God's heart on every issue. Holy Spirit, willing to talk with us, willing to assist us in understanding the Word of God, willing to assist us in practical areas of our lives. I've discovered the hard way that Holy Spirit knows better than I how a stock is going to perform. When He says sell, it's the time to sell. When He says buy, that's the time to buy. Anytime I've disregarded the instruction of the Holy Spirit, it's resulted in loss. And I'm learning to be more sensitive to His voice and the way in which He speaks. And it's so important to understand those things that hinder the flow of communion with Him and those things that facilitate it. We've talked about being unavailable as a hindrance to our communion, our fellowship, our participation with Him in our walk before God. Second, failing to even ask or seek His counsel. Third, letting the cares and emotions of fear and anxiety choke out His word, the word of the Lord and the voice of the Lord. Fourth, persistent, repeated disobedience. Think about it. When your child consistently disobeys your instructions, it becomes difficult to assist them. In fact, sometimes we withdraw and let them experience the failure in order that they will turn and begin to conduct themselves consistent with the instructions given. Fifth, failing to respond to His rebuke, failing to listen. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 23 through 33 in the NIV is particularly instructive here. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23 through 33. If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and troubles overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Oh, beloved, if we would just listen, if we would just tune in, shut out the cares and fears and anxieties, shut out the voice of the world, and listen when he speaks, then we would live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. If you, like I had, disregarded the wisdom and counsel of Holy Spirit, repentance is appropriate. Just repent from a sincere heart and turn. Make up your mind to listen and to obey. He is so gracious, so very willing to assist us. And our Heavenly Father promises that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just, not only to forgive us, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Another hindrance to our communion, our fellowship with Holy Spirit, is corrupt communication. Listen to what Ephesians chapter 4, what it instructs about a corrupt communication. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 through 31. Let no communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let me read that out of the Amplified. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not offend or vex or sadden him, by whom you were sealed, marked, branded as God's own, secured for the day of redemption, a final deliverance through Christ from evil and the consequence of sin. You see, it is that foul communication that grieves Holy Spirit. And when he becomes grieved, he moves a distance. His presence is not as discernible. It's so easy to know. When you become sensitive to the presence of the Lord, it's like being in a relationship with anyone. You can tell when your mate is upset or offended. There's a silence that communicates something more than just a quiet time, a quiet period. So let's not offend, Holy Spirit. There are ways in which we can increase our sensitivity. The first, just being available to Him. Being available. Second, worship. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, tells us, through Him, therefore, let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify His name. If we're in a state of worship and praise, whether you're driving in your car, or those seasons when you're walking from your car to your office, or walking from your office to another location, those are times when you can worship God. You don't have to be loud. Just whispering His name, Jesus, I love You. Holy Spirit, I thank You for being with me. Oh, Holy Spirit, I delight in Your presence, and I thank You for being with me, for being my constant companion. Lifting up the fruit of our lips, praise and adoration, for He is holy God and worthy of our praise and adoration. Romans chapter 14, verse 11. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God, acknowledge to Him His honor and to His praise. Let me read that again. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God, acknowledge Him to His honor and to His praise. And as we've already seen, obedience. Listen to what Deuteronomy tells us about obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 30 and 31. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 30 and 31. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient to His voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, and He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which He sware unto them. O beloved, God is so anxious to help us, to forgive us, to commune with us, to fellowship. He created man because He desired a family. Well, it's time to go again. And I encourage you, as Proverbs 23, verse 12 says, apply your mind to instruction and correction, and your ears to words of knowledge. Tune in to the Holy Spirit. Listen today to what He directs, what He recommends, what He advises. Bye-bye.